Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. New cost estimates suggest a 30-day special session in Wasilla could cost $1.3 million. The estimates were prepared by the Legislative Affairs Agency, which cited security and logistical concerns with meeting at the Wasilla Middle School, Governor Mike Dunleavy's recommended venue. Dunleavy called lawmakers into a special session July 8th in Wasilla to finalize this year's payout to residents from the state's oil wealth fund. Legislative leaders have been weighing their options. The agency estimates a 30-day special session in Juneau with finance committee meetings in Anchorage could cost nearly $855,000. Executive Director Jessica Geary says the Juneau estimate she was asked to provide was for minimal floor sessions and committee meetings in Anchorage. She said a previous estimate for full session costs in Juneau would be nearly $1.1 million. A dispute between the Alaska legislature and Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration over school funding isn't likely to disrupt state payments to districts or affect the start of the school year, but both sides expect a lawsuit on the issue. And the Department of Law says a court order will be needed to send the payments out. The Legislative Council has authorized a lawsuit over the issue. State Senator Gary Stevens says the lawsuit could defend the legislature's ability to pass laws that appropriate money for more than 1 year. Stevens is a Kodiak Republican.
The issue is the separation of powers, you know, and it's our job as a legislature to write a budget, to allocate money, to fund the budget, and it's the governor's job to manage that.
The legislature passed a law last year that was intended to appropriate the bulk of school funding for the school year that just ended and next year. Attorney General Kevin Clarkson maintains that the funding for next year isn't valid. He says the state constitution requires appropriations be done each year. And he says past legislatures can't bind future legislatures and governors. While Dunleavy called on the legislature to add school funding in the operating budget it recently passed, lawmakers chose not to. They maintain that last year's law didn't bind the legislature, but the legislature chose to continue to follow it. A Department of Law statement says the administration believes it can work with the legislature to, quote, ensure the lawsuit proceeds as quickly as possible without impacting Alaska's children and school district. This would require having a court order in place to allow education funding to be sent out on a monthly basis during the litigation, end quote. The legislature could file a lawsuit around July 15th when the first payment of the year normally is sent to districts. With the future of Alaska's ferry system in question, the state may offer short-term financing to incentivize work at Ketchikan Shipyard. That would be accomplished through a newly created $10 million loan fund for private sector vessel owners doing work in-state. The primary beneficiary would be Vigor Alaska, which operates the state-owned shipyard and employs more than 100 people in Ketchikan. It recently delivered two Alaska-class ferries and holds a number of contracts for maintenance and overhauls for the state's ferry fleet. Jill Mackey is Chief of Government Affairs for Vigor's corporate headquarters in Seattle.
With a near-term lull in our traditional ship repair business in Alaska and the uncertainty about future work for the Alaska Marine Highway System, due to the ongoing discussions about its future, we need to explore every avenue to attract new ship repair business to the Ketchikan Shipyard.
Under the proposal, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or AIDA, would offer as much as $1.5 million in financing to vessel owners. The funds would flow directly to Vigor Alaska upon completion of the work. AIDA's Chief Investment Officer, Alan Weitzner, says short-term financing options could make the difference between a vessel owner doing work in Alaska or the lower 48. A public comment period on the proposed Pebble Mine ends July 1st, and mine opponents are doing all they can to get U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski on their side. But as Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports, Murkowski is not ready to make a declaration about the mine, for or against.
Publicly, Murkowski, Senator Dan Sullivan, Congressman Don Young, they're all on the same page on Pebble. They're not taking a stand on the mine. They say they want the Corps of Engineers environmental review to advance with decisions based on objective criteria. But Bristol Bay fishermen and others who oppose the mine see Murkowski as their beacon of hope. Cook Inlet Keeper spokesman Brandon Hill says Pebble opponents are directing their energies at Murkowski because they suspect, deep down, she's with them. And they don't feel that way about Sullivan.
So instead of wasting a lot of our time hoping that he might change his mind, we just don't expect he will. And Lisa seems like she's going to be the person at the top that really helps move this train, if at all. But we need her to speak up.
They're taking every opportunity to appeal to her. Last week, Murkowski posted a feel-good message on Facebook about her resolution to recognize this as the International Year of the Salmon. The post garnered more than 100 comments, most urging her to support salmon by opposing Pebble. Hill says he worries mine opponents could come on too strong and alienate Murkowski. He says he knows that she's deliberate and carefully weighs important decisions.
But gosh, there just comes a time when being a leader also means recognizing something that's unjust and changing it and being bold, you know? And I think that's what we're asking Lisa to do, is be bold and stand with us. Like, it's time.
Murkowski says it's not time. She says she's advocated for a robust permitting process.
But what about weighing in on the mine?
Well, what I want to do is to take what has been laid down not only in the draft EIS, but now with a
follow-up. She says she wants to read the science, the criticism of the science, and all the comments.
And so that is the next step in this evaluation that, as an Alaskan, I think I should be taking.
So you plan to take all that into consideration and then possibly weighing in?
There will be that point when I think it is appropriate.
Pebble is especially unpopular in coastal fishing towns, but some residents in the communities near where the mine would be are in favor of it. They say the region can't rely solely on salmon and desperately needs another industry. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Research on polar bear health and abundance is critical to understanding how the animals are responding to declining sea ice in the warming Arctic. But changes in the ice are also presenting challenges for researchers who go out and collect information on the bears, so they're trying to adapt. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Ravenna Koenig has the story.
For 8 seasons now, wildlife biologist Todd Atwood has been part of a team that's flown over the Beaufort Sea during the spring in a helicopter, looking for polar bears. When they see one, and the conditions are right, they dart it with a sedative and land on the sea ice to collect information from the animal.
We weigh the bear, we age the bear. We collect a variety of biological samples.
Atwood works for the U.S. Geological Survey, one of the agencies that does research on polar bears in Alaska. The information they get through this research helps them come up with an estimate for the bear population, and also helps them determine if the animals are getting enough food or have any other health issues. But changes in the sea ice are affecting USGS's ability to do that kind of bear capture research.
What we're experiencing more recently is that the ice conditions are just terrible.
Atwood says that they're increasingly encountering a lot of open water during their research season in March and April. That creates complications for flying, and also they worry about a sedated bear trying to escape to open water and drowning. Ideally, they try to find a large, stable pan of ice where they can spend about an hour getting data from the bear. Of the ice they do find, a large part of it is now rubble ice.
Ice that looks like it just went through a blender.
Atwood says that rubble ice makes it harder to see the bears from the helicopter because they kind of blend into it. It also limits where they can land. These challenges mean they're sampling fewer bears, and that will affect the conclusions they can draw from their research.
There's probably going to be a greater amount of uncertainty with some of the information that we're able to provide because it's simply not going to be as precise as it used to be.
USGS is already changing the way they collect data for population estimates. They're relying more on making observations of bears from the air without landing, and on methods like biopsy darting, where they shoot a dart that collects a small tissue sample from the bear and doesn't require them to sedate it. And other researchers are looking into other methods.
There's some interesting work out there that suggests that collecting DNA from tracks left by polar bears in the snow might be a way to move forward.
But Atwood says that when it comes to things like the bear's weight, age, and detailed health information, there's still really no replacement for bear capture. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
And taking a look at weather, latest conditions at Juneau International Airport. 75 degrees with a few clouds. Forecast for Juneau and Northern Admiralty Island. Tonight, chance of rain, lows in the mid-50s. Saturday, periods of rain, highs around 60. Saturday night, numerous rain showers. Sunday, mostly cloudy, highs around 60. And finally, today is the summer solstice. Here in Juneau, the U.S. Naval Observatory says sunset on the longest day of the year will be at 10:08 p.m., with civil twilight until 11:26 p.m. Civil twilight begins tomorrow at 2:33 a.m., and the sun will rise at 3:52 a.m. That's the KTOO update for Friday, June 21st, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.